lose our lives, then we can find it even more in Christ. So thankful for how God works in our hearts. And Psalms 119 has been a wonderful passage of Scripture so far. It is a little challenging because it continues to talk about the Word of God, and we keep on seeing the psalmist getting deeper and deeper into his trust and his confidence, and you see that continuing on tonight as we look at this Psalms 119. We're going to look at verses 33 through 40 tonight is the next section. Our goal is to just take the eight verses each section at a time and follow all the way through. I know it's really been an encouragement and help to me. I know one thing that's really, truly kind of gripped my heart was what the psalmist is looking for is he's not just looking for God's law. He's looking for understanding. He wants God to teach him his word, not just teach him this so he learns the words verbatim. He wants to understand the heart of God. And as he understands the heart of God, he's able to explain it to others. I mean, how many times are we so frustrated because we don't know what to say to somebody else? Well, that's just what it says. That's in there. And we can't back it up. And tonight is going to look at this a little bit more. He's asking him to teach him. He's asked for the mercies of God. But it's not the mercies of God. He's asking to be taught too. And so often what we do, God, I need your mercy. I want your mercy. We want the blessings, but we don't want the truth too. And the psalmist is here, and he's basing all his hope on his desires on, I want the word of God. I want to know the word of God. I want to understand the word of God, and I want to apply it to my life, and I want to be able to explain this to others because I know what salvation's done to me. I know the change it's made in my life, and I know there's truth in here, and I know there is a bunch of truth in there that I want to be able to explain to my kids, my grandkids, my coworkers, the people who I love, the people, and those that try to even attack me, those that try to reproach me, those that just say, I don't understand why you believe these things. And that's what the psalmist is looking for and desiring and asking for. Then he talks about walking in liberty, which I love that thought. You know, he's walking in liberty, gives the idea that I'm walking in liberty. I have freedom. I have freedom to choose. And so many times people talk about liberty. I got Christian liberty. I can do whatever I want. And the thought pattern there is God gives us liberty not to sin. It's not for a cloak of maliciousness. It's not for our fleshly interests. It's to choose to do what's right. It means I no longer have been in bondage. No longer am I a slave. No longer do I have to continue on sinning. I have liberty to say no. I have a choice to choose to do what's right. And so many times people use that spiritual liberty as something that is just a way to justify their sins. You can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me to act this way, and you can't this, you can't that. I'm going to heaven. And that's the psalmist kind of gives us understanding what true liberty is. Once he knows and he understands the law and he delights in the law, he's at perfect peace. There's no guilty conscience. There's no, I got to do this. This is, I know the Lord. I know what he's saying. And all I got to do is what I'm supposed to do and let God take care of the rest. So let's jump in here. Psalm 119, we're going to start off in verse 41. It says, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation. And we're going to kind of give you a little commentary, and then we're going to hit three big things that go along with there. David understands it's by God's mercies. He needs God's mercies. And when we consider, when he says, even thy salvation, it's the thought there. It's the salvation is what truly is merciful. By grace are we saved. But why? How come we had that opportunity? It's because of the mercy of God. And then he says this, it's according to thy word. And I like that because lots of times we're asking God for things. We're asking God, will you be merciful because of my sin? God, will you just bless my mess? And, you know, those type of things. And he's saying, no, I don't want that. God, I don't want your mercy just because you like me. I don't want your mercy just because you're a merciful God. God, I want you to give me your mercy according to your word. I want truth, not just because I need it. I want truth because I want your word. And he says, even thy salvation. And then the reference is there is one way to heaven. There is no other way. There are lots of people out there who might try to tell you another way. There might be people out there, well, that's your way, but this is my way. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he uses the words, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. So when David is saying this, and once again, I believe This is a psalmist. He's getting older as he writes this. He's talking about different areas of his life here. And if it follows this trend, David's been saved a number of times from different problems, different issues. It's always by faith. And David's like, I need your salvation, but I don't want you to make some type of exception for me. Because, like we learned in the first 8 verses, was David observed something. He says, the people that follow God's word, people that live according to God's word, they're blessed. Those are the people I want to be like. And now he's gone on this journey to get God's word, to understand God's word, and even to a deeper thought of understanding the word of God. So let's keep on going. And he says in verse 42, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. This is one of the things we're going to come back, but just to give you a little highlight there, he's saying, so now I know how to answer those that are trying to hurt me, those that are trying to upbraid me, those that are trying to defame me, those that are harassing me. He says, so shall. So he says, Lord, if you'll give me your mercies according to your word, then I will be able to answer those that reproach me, those that say, I don't know what you do and why you do it and all those other things. And then he comes to this part, for I trust in thy word. He believes that God's going to give him the mercies. He believes that God's going to save him. He believes he's going to be able to answer. Why? It's because he's trusting in God's words. Verse 43, he says, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. He's saying, God, give me the words. Don't take it away from me. And the wonderful thing is, as we put the word of God in us, it's going to naturally come out. But he's saying, God, I want to know how to answer this. And the reason why I want to know how to answer this is because I've hoped in thy judgments. I've given everything else up. I'm not leaning to my own understanding. I've put everything on your word. It's not me personally doing these things. I want you to teach me things. I've hoped in your judgments. And if you take the words out of my mouth, I'm not going to know what to say. If it isn't for your judgments, if it isn't for your words, I'm lost. I'm stuck. Then he goes on and he says, and so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. I love the commitment. It's not just, okay, God, I want you to give me the words right now because this guy's giving me a hard time at work, and my parents or my family's saying these things. God, I'm really interested because I know how to, I want to. And usually it's, I want to help them. It's not that I want to give them a zing to shut them up. It's the idea they need help. They're attacking the Bible. They're attacking me. But he's saying, I hope in your judgments. And he says, it's not a one-time thing, God. I want to keep your law, and I want to do it continually. It's a part of me. It's what I want to make me. And he says, and I want to do it continually forever and ever. Then I like verse number 45. It's the title of tonight's message, I Will Walk at Liberty. He has the ability to walk at liberty in that freedom. He has a choice. He says, no one's forcing me to say or go any other way. You have given me the words. I know it's truth, and I do not have to own up to any man. I am not held captive or in bondage by anything or any person. It is freedom to have and to say and do as God would want me to do. He says, for I seek thy precepts. He says, I know I can walk at liberty because I'm seeking the right things. Then he continues on. Once he has all these things figured out, he's saying, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. He says, it doesn't matter who is on the other side of the room. It doesn't matter who I'm looking at. It doesn't matter what type of power or authority is. As sort of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're not careful to answer ye, the O king, in this matter, probably the most powerful man maybe to ever live, thinking about how many rules and nations he dominated and ruled at one point in time, they look at him and says, we're not ashamed. Why is that? It's because they knew some truth. The truth had taken a hold of them. And he's in verse 47, and then he says, not only am I not going to be ashamed, he says, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. He's not just asking them. He's saying, I want to actually find joy and pleasure and excitement in the word of God because I've learned to love it. And there is no better way to love God's word than allow God to take and use his word in your life, and you turn around and say, God, you're right. I did things the right way. God answered my prayers. And then we begin to delight because we see God working and moving in us. Verse 48, my hands also will I lift up thy commandments, which I have loved. and I will meditate in thy statutes. It's not just something that I'm talking about with my mouth. My hands will also show it too. My actions will show it. And he says, I've loved them. And then he says, it's not just loving them. I'm meditating in thy statutes. I'm regurgitating. I'm thinking about it. It's not something I take, store it away, never think about again. It's the word of God, and it impacts and changes our lives. So there's three things I want to, kind of mention here that I see here that I like. The first one is answering those that reproach thee. You go back to verse number 42, he says, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. I like that. I like the idea of being able to communicate. You ever been in a conversation with someone and you just didn't know what to say? Happens all the time to me. Why is that? Is because the person's smarter than you? Well, picture it this way. The devil doesn't like you trying to serve God. The devil hates the fact that you're trying to live for right in front of others. And if you do that, then the other person, you're saying the other person's controlled by the devil. I'm not saying the other person's controlled by the devil. I'm saying that the devil can convince people to say and do certain things. You say, how can that happen? Well, devil cannot possess me, but I know some of the things I do in my own life are not things that are coming from God, so they must be coming from somewhere. So I'm not listening to the right person as they're trying to whisper things in your ear, however the temptations come. I mean, Jesus was tempted. So if you don't think you get tempted by God, then you know you're saying you're better than Jesus. But I'm saying the other individual might have something, if the devil's saying something and bringing up certain things, to try to combat with you or to reproach you. And that idea of reproach means to upbraid, to give you a hard time, to mock. The idea not only upbraid, it also talks about to defame you, to take away those things that make you look silly and that make you feel like you're an idiot. And I've been there before. I remember going into the prisons and going from cell to cell. And some of those guys were super smart in certain things when it came to certain religions. And many times the guys I went along says those guys are usually Muslims, and what they do is they find out some really outlandish questions about the Bible to ask you. They have no interest in learning about the Bible. What they're interested in is taking up your time so you cannot talk to somebody else who might actually want to hear what you have to say. So when they start talking about the book of Barnabas or the book of this or the book of that or other things that have nothing to do with the Bible, they're not really interested in the truth that you have to present. And so not all of them are like that, but there was some there that was interested, and they were trying to stop you from being there. So how do you know what to say and when to say it? And I think that's a honest and easy answer for us all to say. I want to know what to say and how to say it. And it says in Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, it says, and when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same manner. I like that verse because I think that verse is saying, doesn't mean that you're not unlearned. Doesn't mean that you're not in the Word of God. It means when the situations come where you can't handle it, God will give you the right things to say. You ever said the right thing at the right moment, at the right time, and you didn't even know where it came from? It's the Holy Spirit of God. He can do that. It's like the apples of gold and pitchers of silver. It's there's things spoken at the right moment, at the right time. God knew you needed that. And that's where we need to get. You say, well, I don't talk like that. I don't have those answers. It's because it's right here. You gotta. It's like the sword of the Spirit. It's the word of God. Ephesians 6:17 says, and take on the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. It's what we put into our own heart and what we put into our own mind that the Holy Spirit brings up, reminds us of those things. I remember one pastor said, hey, what are you giving the Holy Spirit to work with? He says, are you giving him this large sword to work with, or are you giving him a little pocket knife? Because you don't know much about the Bible. You're not giving him much to be able to bring up to your memory because you're not putting the Word of God in you. And this psalmist loves the Word of God. He even wants his mercies, you know, God's mercies on his life, only to come according to thy word, because he wants to learn his word so much. And he says, and when you teach me that way, I'm going to be able to answer those that reproach me. I'm going to be able to have an answer for those that give me a hard time. And this verse is in Luke is saying, he's speaking to the disciples, and he's talking to them, and he knows the disciples are getting ready to face you think about who they're going to face in just a few years. They're going to face the religious leaders of the Jews. Not only that, they're going to enter into places like Ephesus and Galatia, and they're going to enter into places that have all these wicked gods and people in different cultures they've never been in and they've never been a part of. And they're not going to have all those answers, but you know who does? It's the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, if you will invest yourself into the Word of God and you'll have the Word of God in you, that the Holy Spirit will give you the answers that you want to say. You think about some of the different, and I was thinking about this a little bit today, and there's more answers to this but that than the few I have. But I loved listening to people give the right answer. I think about Ahab. When Ahab walked up to Elijah, he said to him, "Art thou that trouble of Israel?" And you know, Elijah responds to this king, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed Balaam." It's the perfect response. He has the perfect comeback. It's not because you can put someone in your place and make someone feel disgusted. It's because of the fact that the Holy Spirit's giving you what to say. I think about in Acts, they ask Peter and John, "Did we not straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." What does Peter and John said? "We ought to obey God rather than man." You know, answers like that that have been, you know, passed down through the generations. I wish I knew how to answer like that. It's found right here. He will give you the words that you need to say. It says in Luke chapter number 11, we mentioned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar, probably the most powerful man to ever live, looks at them and looks them in the face and says, you know, "What God is it that's going to deliver you out of my hand?" What does Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say? They say, "We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." It's still the same response. Great responses. Where does it come from? Is it because they're super smart? They've gone through college? They've gone through master's? No, Peter was an unlearned fisherman. They said, "Hey, I took notice. He spent time with Jesus. He looks so much like him and acts so much like him." And that they said, "Hey, Jesus has rubbed off on him." And thinking about Jesus, when he was tempted, what did he say? The devil says to him, "All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." And how does he respond? He says, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." It's the same thing that the psalmist is asking for. If you'll teach me, Lord, I will then be able to answer those that reproach me. I'll be able to answer those that give me a hard time, those that mock me. I think about the Philistine goes out there and Goliath, and he looks at David and says, "Am I a dog that thou comest out to me with staves?" And the Philistines cursed David. And what did David say? David said, David looked at the Philistine and says, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear." The battle was the Lord's. Now, you know, you got a sermon outline in there with some great just things that people have taken as little lines there. That all the earth may do, the battle was the Lord's. Do you think David had that all written out? I mean, do you think he wrote that out ahead of time and said, you know, if Goliath says something to me, this is what I'm going to say so I can bring encouragement to the Israelites and tell the Philistines what's going on? Of course not. Then where did he get it from? He gets it from God. Where do people get it from when they have the answers? And yes, it's the knowledge that we put in. It's the Word of God that we put in. It's an understanding. And yes, there have been times that I've been stumped, and there's been times when I say, "Hey, I'll be back with you. I don't know everything." But the Holy Spirit of God gives us the words to say as we seek after his will. And that's the whole point of Psalms 119. That's what he's asking. He says, "I want you to show me and to teach me, not just the statutes. I want to understand you. I want to understand the reasons behind it." Now, obviously, we're never going to get there where we understand God perfectly, because there are certain things that we'll never know. But we're always learning. We're always growing. We're always understanding. And that's when he can handle it. That's what he says. That's about talking about those that reproach against me. The Holy Spirit can help us, as we saw in Luke. Verse 43, he says, take not the word out of truth utterly out of my mouth. He says, I need it. Please do not remove it from me. I need those things, for I have hoped in thy judgments. I think he's saying there that I've given it all. It's all about the Bible. If the word of God's not true, I'm finished. And then he talks about doing it continually, forever and ever. Verse 45 is the next thing I want you to think about, is walking with liberty. I was reading, and in my studying, Spurgeon had this to talk, he said this: saints find no bondage in sanctity. The spirit of holiness is a free spirit. He sets men at liberty and enables them to resist every effort to bring them under subjection. The way of holiness is not a track for slaves, but the king's highway for free men, who are joyfully journeying from the Egypt of bondage to Satan, to the Canaan of rest. And I think that's wonderful. You think about it. No longer are we a saint that is living for God and doing what's right. They have perfect liberty. It's a perfect law of liberty. As they're learning and they're doing what's right, I don't have to feel guilty for what I'm doing. I don't know if I'm saying and doing things that are right. I've searched the Word of God. I understand the Word of God. And now I have this liberty. And that liberty is something that is such a freedom that we have, and such an encouragement. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 1 Peter 2:16, and as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. He says, just because I've given you liberty, and that's a new catchphrase for today, well, probably not for today, but in the last 20 years, I have religious liberty, I have spiritual liberty, I can say and do what I want, I can act whatever I want, I can dress whatever way I want, I can listen to whatever I want, no one can tell me what I can do, no one can tell me what I can't do, and there's a lot written about this, but that's not what the liberty he gave you. He didn't give you liberty to continue on sinning and go back into the bondage to the thing that he saved you from. He doesn't want you to continue to say, I got liberty so I can continue on to sin. What does it say in Romans chapter 6? Should I continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. That's not the way I'm supposed to look at it. I've been saved. I'm freed from this. I no longer have to be a servant of this sin. I had the liberty now to choose to do what's right. An unsaved person can't do that. Unsaved persons under that bondage. They always have to continue on sinning. In some way, some shape, or form, they do not have the spiritual liberty and the freedom. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with that yoke of bondage. And what a believer does is when Christ has set him free from that yoke of bondage and from that slavery, what a believer does when he chooses to do wrong, he goes back and he places himself underneath that bondage. He does not lose his eternal security. He does not lose his place in heaven. He does not lose his place in the family. But what they're doing is now they're now putting themselves back under that bondage, and they are a slave to that sin. And the Bible says that they're a servant of sin if they choose to do what is wrong. You can be a servant of righteousness, or you can be a servant of sin. Galatians 5:13 says it this way: for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. You only use not that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And so the thought here is, you've been given this liberty. Now, what am I supposed to do with this liberty? Serve one another. And back in the New Testament, it talked about days of the week, you know, whether it's Sunday or Saturday, they're supposed to worship the Lord, whether they should eat things that are before idols and other things like that. And the point is, getting into the Word of God, like he's talking about here, he asking for his mercies according to his word, answering those, and it's a continual thing. He says, I don't want you to take the word out of my mouth. I've hoped in thy judgments. I continue to serve them. I've learned them. Now I can walk at liberty. I can stand high. I can say, I understand God's will for my life, and I'm going to do what's right. Not many of us have that peace, because we use our liberties as an excuse. Oh, I could say what I want. I could do what I want. There is nothing that more effectually binds a man to the way of the Lord than the experience of the truth of his word, and embodied in the forms of mercy and deliverance. And there's no other way to really say, I have peace and I can walk at liberty, than to say, I am living according to God's will for my life. It's perfect peace that you can have. And then you say, well, that perfect peace, that passive all understanding, he shall keep him at perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. We don't have that. Why is that? It's because we use our liberty sometimes and freedom to make choices for ourselves to do the wrong things. And that's why the psalmist is saying so much, give me your word. I want your word. I need your word. Teach me your word. And that's when he says at the end of verse 45, for I seek thy precepts. I know I'm not going to mess up as long as I'm seeking your word. As long as I'm living according to your word, as I'm taking the word in and I'm studying your word, I know I can walk at liberty, be leading me, guiding me. I'm not walking according to the flesh. I'm walking according to the spirit. And what a challenge that is, but that's the freedom that we have. That's what it's talking about. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean on to thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You don't have to feel bad. You don't have to feel guilty about certain things because you've studied the word. You're seeking God's precepts, and the way he's leading you and he's guiding you, you got it. And then he says that after those things happen, he's going to be willing to talk before kings. And look what it says that in verse 46. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Now, back then in Bible times, talking before kings was like talking to the person you were most fearful of. Nowadays, I think if most people would have seen leadership, at least like in our nation, I'm sure if we met President Biden, we probably would not be very careful about what we were going to say. We're going to tell him what we think needs to change about our country. Maybe we're a witness to him. But back then, if you went and talked to a king or a person in authority, it means you got your head chopped off. It's sort of like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's like, who is this God that's going to deliver you out of my hand? He didn't know. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had the proper response. It did not faze them that they were talking to a king, the most powerful man alive, maybe the most powerful man ever. It's because they weren't looking at the king. They were looking above at the throne who had the true king. And we got to remember that. He's saying, if you taught me and you've given me everything I'm supposed to say and I'm walking in that liberty, then it doesn't matter who I'm talking to. It can be my parents. It can be my children. It can be the person at work, my boss. It can even be my preacher. It can be my mate. It can be whoever you think would be the most challenging, intimidating person to talk to about God. He says, I'm not going to be ashamed of that. I can talk freely and I can talk openly because I have sought after your precepts. I do not have to be ashamed of your testimonies, no matter who you are. And I think that's a powerful thought because all of us probably have somebody we're a little intimidated to talk to about the scriptures. You say, well, intimidated is not the right word. Well, for some, it really is. The reason why we don't talk to them, we say, well, I just don't feel led to talk to them. And sometimes I think God does lead us and guide us, but we shouldn't change who we are. We shouldn't be ashamed that we're a Christian and hide and be apologetic for the fact that God loves us and that he saved us. And that's what David's saying. If you will let me walk at liberty and you will show me I'm seeking your precepts, it doesn't matter who I come across. I'm not going to be ashamed of you. They're going to know that I'm a believer. I don't care if they're an atheist. I don't care if they're a Muslim. I don't care who they are and how intimidating it may be in whatever situation is. And for you, it might be a different one. I know sometimes it is so difficult to talk to family. Sometimes it's a struggle that's there. But then you go back to verse 43. For I have hoped in thy judgments. He says, take not the word out of the truth, utterly out of my mouth. I have hoped in thy judgments. This is what we have our hope in. This is our word. This is our hope. This is the things we live for as believers and Christians. It's not about what we come up with. It's not about how smart or how woke that the people become. It's not about how they say, well, I got a new interpretation, or that's the way they saw old things, and that's the way they did in old times, and they had problems in old times. This is our hope that's found right here. It's knowing it, to study it, to understand it. And when we do that, he says, I'm going to walk in liberty. And even though it may be intimidating talking to somebody that's smarter than you are or has authority in your life or someone that you've been close to or that's been antagonistic towards you, he says, I'm not going to be ashamed of it because I have you speaking for me. It's not the words coming from me. Instead, it's the Holy Spirit of God giving thee the words to say to help reach them, because I can't do that on my own. And that's what I believe David is saying. And that's when I see people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saying things like, we're not careful to answer you in this matter, O king. If it be so, our God shall be able, whom we serve will be able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And then they say, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the gold image which thou hast set up. He says, if you want to kill us, go ahead. We're not going to do it. And they did try to kill him. And David has those great answers, and Elijah had those answers, and they were all scriptural. They're all biblically filled. And I believe today in the dispensation we live in, that's the Spirit of God working in us. We put so much into us, the Word of God. We have such a great desire, such a confidence in His Word, that as we put so much in us, as we meditate like it talks in verse 48, or actions shown in verse 48, we delight in it in verse 47, it is what actually naturally comes out, the Bible. And that never happens to me. How much of it do we put in? If we put junk constantly in over and over and over, what's naturally going to come out? If you put TV in, you know what? Those thought patterns are going to come out. If you put sports in, what are you going to communicate about? If you put news in, what is it going to be on your heart? If you put whatever it is that you put so much into your heart, so much into your life, that's what's going to come out. And the same thing is true, but hear about in your word, in His word. He says, I've hoped in it. I've trusted in it. I want to live according to it. I delight in it. Verse 47, I love it. So I want to encourage you tonight. Walk in liberty. I know sometimes in my life, I beat myself up because if I do something wrong, man, I wish I never did that. I feel bad about it. I feel guilty. I get right with the Lord. Don't want to do it again. But how great it is to be able to say, I'm right with the Lord. I'm in God's will. And I'm just going to walk at liberty. I've studied. I've learned. I've grown. I'm at this point in my life that I can just walk in the liberty that God's given me. And I don't have to be ashamed by anybody else. I don't have to be ashamed by what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing is right because I know, and I understand, and I'm doing the will of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that the thoughts from this passage of Scripture came through tonight. I see that when David says, I'm going to be able to answer those that reproach me, it reminds me of those that attack Christianity, those who personally attack us, those who have their arguments, and many times they're maybe more intelligent or more book learned than some of us, and they put us to shame or they make us question. But it's like just like your word says, that the Holy Spirit gives us the answers of what to say. It tells us not even to worry about what we're going to say when we're brought before those authorities. It's just like Peter is there and he's looking at them and they're saying, we told you not to do this. And they said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God stood before that powerful man and said, we're not careful to answer thee. Elijah didn't come and say, hey, he says, no, I'm not the one that's troubling Israel, that you are. God, help us to be filled with the Spirit of God so we know what answers to say. Help us to seek the Word of God. Help us not to put our own personal things into it. Help us to truly know and understand and do the will of God. Help us, Lord. Lord, speak to hearts tonight during this invitation time. Lord, if we truly desire to want to know how to respond, help us make a commitment to get into your Word so the Holy Spirit will have more to respond with. In Jesus' name, amen.